from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, friends beyond the binary tree, trees in multiforms, like you say, Scooch, can you remember what TARDIS stands for? And I say time and T-A-R, time and relative, relative dimension in space, I think is what it stands for. But you know, who doesn't know the time or the relative dimension? You say, who is not very good at, actually, I am pretty, my spatial relations are, believe it or not, while my meanders, that's one place I actually normally sometimes am decent at, spatial relations, which might lead into what we could talk about in the intro. Spatial relations, it sounds like a job. Like, I could be the Dr. Ruth Wessheimer of space. You see, well, I only handle spatial relations. Now, what am I talking about? Well, it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast to put you to sleep. And here's a couple of ways we keep the show free for everybody. Hey, before we get to the rest of the episode here, I just want to let you know, Sleep With Me, I'm here on a regular basis for you to create a safe place that's built from my growing awareness of what the meaning of empathy and compassion is. So if you need extra help right now, there's going to be links in the show notes to organizations you could reach out to get more resources. And being compassionate and being empathetic also means to me being a part of change and supporting the Black members of our community, because Black lives matter. And if you want to be a part of that change and you're looking to take a step in that direction or a step in as part of a healing process because you've been impacted, there's going to be links to organizations in the show notes as well. And that's it. What do you say? We get on with the show. Oh, no. This is the part with the sponsors. These are sponsors that enable us to bring you this podcast twice a week. Thanks. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleep With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're regular listeners Sleep With Me, so if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease the loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What would what it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about the mattress I sleep in nightly. And tonight's sponsor, Helix. Helix Sleep. Take that quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. And oh, how do I love my Helix. And not only do I love my Helix, my family members love their Helix. I just stayed at a family member's house, and I saw my nephew Daniel had a Helix. I believe his parents have a Helix Sleep too. So it's just so refreshing to know that I'm not the only one enjoying sleeping on mine. But each one of us is different, right? And that's why Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection. There's mattresses for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you know which mattress is going to be best for you, the way you sleep, and your body is to take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows you want to get to know your mattress, right? And you get to sleep on it in your own home. They offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. And since everybody's unique and everyone sleeps differently, Helix has different mattress models to choose from, designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam for pressure relief if you sleep on your side, responsive foam to cradle your body if you're a stomach or back sleeper. And way back when I took that Helix sleep quiz, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Lux. You know, I sleep on my stomach. I sleep on my side. I like to be cool. I love this mattress. Anytime I travel, I'm counting the days to get home and get in my Helix bed. And Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the one part of the podcast I need you to hear or at least remember when your hand hits the fridge tomorrow. Think, what was on the Sleepy Supporter Zone? Tonight, I want to thank Ken, Judy, and Miles, who supported Helix. Now, they're still waiting for their Helix Midnight to come, but I know they're really looking forward to it. If you support a sponsor like Helix, particularly Helix, they've been supporting the show the whole year, every single month. Or Grove. Holy cow, what did you get in your first Grove shipment? What was your free gift? Share with me some pictures. Tag me on social media. What kind of sweaty Betty tights did you get? What were the prints like? Let the sponsor know you appreciate them supporting the show. Let me know what cool things you got so I can think about it and let other listeners know about it. And then I can try to thank you on the Sleepy Supporter Zone like Ken, Judy, and Miles. That's part one of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. Part two is you getting the support you need. If you need extra help right now, there's links in our show notes to places you can reach out for help right now, right this moment, to get some extra help and get the right resources you need. And then if you've been impacted by racism, you're looking at your privilege, you're wondering where to go next, how to start becoming an anti-racist, to be a part of the solution, there's links to resources in the show notes. And part three is something I've been supporting, is Ruth King's book, Mindful of Race. It's a great place to get started, and it'll be a practice that'll set you on a path that hopefully changes your life and the community around you. And there'll be a link to that in the show notes as well. And that is the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone, which is now over. Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out on this show. Who are they?
W the legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
Any reason at all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through. Listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance. We're raising money for the Water Wheel Foundation. And Scooter might get a
Thanks, Mr. Bard. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. That's where you can find me. And what do you say we get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. Do with a bedtime story. All you need to do, if you wish, you don't even need to do it, you could do it, is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. You could also do that in any order, or you could say, well, I just dim the lights. I say, totally understand that. But I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, you know, things on your mind you're thinking about, feelings, you know, anything you're feeling emotionally or physically coming up for you. So things, you know, things on the mind, brain, you know, brain stuff, feeling stuff, whatever level. What if your I don't know if people's chakras have voice, but if your chakras are like singing like Shaka Khan, I guess that would get my hips moving. Maybe I should do that. See, would it? Well, how are you becoming familiar with your chakras, Scoots? I say, well, I've called the one on my hips Shaka Khan, and so then I can shake my hips. And they say, you don't know what you're talking about. And they say, no, because I was sorry, I was at the beginning of a podcast intro, and I got mixed up within my mix-ups. So whatever is keeping you awake, I'd like to take your mind off of that and keep you company and help you fall asleep. What I'm going to do that is, like, I got this safe place. You know, let me de-shaka con it. And I'm going to smooth it, I'm going to pad it, I'm going to rub, I'm trying not to gyrate my hips, but it's not easy, even though I'm doing a sleep podcast. Isn't it interesting that, you know, Shakira and Shaka Khan, like, they associate both of them with hip motion, dancing, or making my hips want to move, and like they just have the both. Like, I don't know, is that like the same root word at the beginning? No, those are names. Okay. Oh, get back to the intro. Okay, so I'm going to try to create a safe place, and I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones. Oh, so creaky. Pointless meanders, which we've already gotten some early bonus ones. Superfluous tangents. Maybe some of those were superfluous tangents. Pointless, superfluous. You know, I'm going to go off topic. All of it to take your mind off of stuff and help you fall asleep. Now, if you're new, a couple of things to answer questions you might be having since you're new. One, I'm glad you're here. Two, this podcast is not for everybody, but for everybody it has become a podcast for that's become a regular listener, they say it takes two or three tries. And I'll explain that to you in long, drawn-out terms. But if you're skeptical or doubtful, that's a pretty normal way to come to this podcast. Of course you'd be. And I'll probably, like, deepen your skepticism initially. That's one of my, like, winning techniques. I go against all those advice books, they say. And I've called all of them on my imaginary. I say, give me that, like, hill guy. And can we conference in, like, Vincent Peale and Hill and Carnegie? Can we get them all on one imaginary call? And they said, a Zoom? And I said, yeah, but I'm going to mute them all initially because, and then they say, well, what is it regarding? I say, I think I already forgot. It's something counterintuitive I was doing. Building Rapport by Losing Rapport. It's my latest book in a series of books I'm working on. And they say, really? I say, yep, that's probably what tonight's episode will be about. It'll probably be a seminar, actually. Great idea, by the way. So we'll save our call for later. But yeah, by deepening skepticism in this podcast, we lean in. So keep them on. Can you put people on hold on Zoom, imaginary beings? Great. Thanks, brain. So you might be doubtful. Here's the funniest thing that I'm laughing about on the inside is that somehow I looked at the clock I use to keep time on these intros, and I was like clocking in. Now the clock is different than real time, but it was 4 minutes. So I said, oh boy, by minute five, I'll be telling the structure of the podcast to the new listener. I'm like so on time here. And then of course I, you know, made an imaginary Zoom call. But so one of the things, if you're new, that throws new listeners off is the structure of the show. because our show is structured. Initially, it seems like it's structured like a normal podcast, but it isn't. It kind of is, though. So it starts off with a greeting. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, trees and multiforms in this case, because originally this was going to be a Doctor Who episode, but now I think I have to kind of do this seminar one. But don't worry, you'll still get your Doctor Who episode on time. So that's pretty funny, too, that we opened it, because Trees and Multiforms is a Doctor Who reference. Oh, get to the point. You're right. Well, that's one of the things we don't do is get to the point. But yeah, the show starts off with a greeting. Then there's business. That's a cool thing, keeping the podcast free for everybody. Then we go into, after that, we go into an intro. And our intros are around 12 to 20 minutes long. Which for a lot of new listeners or people that don't listen to the show, it can kind of seem baffling. So let me kind of explain to you the intro, because it's kind of the thing that people are most wary about, and or the business. I mean, the business is necessary, and the intro is kind of, it isn't necessary. So 2% of regular listeners start the show at 20 minutes. And then some large number of patrons listen to story-only episodes. But most listeners listen to the intro. And the intro serves a few purposes. One, to welcome new listeners by deepening their skepticism and losing their rapport, which is my patented method of proving my, you know, proving my competence or incompetence. What was my point? I already lost it. So the intro is to serve that purpose. One. Then the other thing the intro does for regular listeners is it's part of people's wind down routine, because bedtime is not just something that happens instantly to a lot of us. And so, some listeners start the intro as they're getting ready for bed or as bedtime is approaching. Some listeners are in bed already, or some are in the room doing some sort of wind down or pre-bedtime, you know, something else relaxing. I can always suggest petting your pets or, you know, kissing your biceps and shoulders. Those are, or bombing your elbows. Those are all ones I recommend. Or lying down. I mean, like, not even in bed. I maybe foam rolling. I don't suggest that, though. To be honest, I do it, but I can't recommend it. Supposedly, it's great for you. I didn't think the funniest thing I said to me was foam rolling, because every time I do it, I say, what am I doing? What am I thinking? But actually, well, anyway, so let's get off the foam roller. Oh, so the intro is kind of like endlessly rolling foam. It's kind of, for some listeners, it is like foam rolling endlessly. But the whole idea is you start the intro and you start to wind down, whether you're in bed or you're getting ready for bed. And it eases you into bedtime. So that is why the intro is so long and pointless, because it's supposed to be. And I'm good at it, good at doing that. But it does. It is an acquired taste, and it is optional. Like I said, you could start your podcast at 20 minutes or 22 minutes. It seems to be the sweet spot for that percentage of people that want to skip ahead. So that's the intro. Then tonight, originally, I was going to cover an episode of Doctor Who, but by the magic of editing, instead I'll do a seminar episode, because we haven't done one of those in a while, so that'll be fun. So that'd be kind of like a bedtime story. Between the intro and the show is business. That's a kind of a podcast structure thing. And then, there's thank yous at the end. So it's a structure show. A couple other things to know. One, this is a podcast you don't need to listen to. You probably already came to that conclusion yourself, because I kind of go off topic, and you could just kind of barely listen, or listen to me in a loose, out of focus, a fuzzy way. Though if you want to listen, I'm here. And that goes into our next point. This podcast isn't really here to put you to sleep. It's here to keep you company as you fall asleep. to take your mind off of stuff, to be your bedtime companion, your friend in the deep, dark night. I mean, that's a role I'm really applying for. The role he was born to play, the person who's never listened to. And they'd say, well, that's pretty accurate, actually. The role I'm proud to play. He's been over approaching 900 performances or over it with bonus episodes and stuff. Yeah, it's pretty cool that I get to be here to take your mind off stuff, to be your boar friend, your boar bae, your boar cuz, your boar sib, your boar bestie, your boar bruh. Whatever it is, you like, that's what I'm here to do, is just keep you company as you fall asleep. Now, here's the other side. If you can't sleep, I'm here for you. So if you're like, I have listeners that just can't sleep, or people that are going, you know, dude, got something going on, or maybe it's during the day and you need a break during the day, I'm here. So I'll be here till the end of this episode to keep you company, because that's my job. I think that's it as far as like this structure of the show. I mean, I was thinking about the spatial relations stuff. I was talking about it at the beginning, and then I said, well, it could be, yeah, like spatial relations. I don't know if what that book, that karma, the Sutra Karma book is about spatial relations, but like I was thinking more like talking it out, that kind of spatial relations. But then I was like, oh, would it be about beings in space? Would I be an expert in the relation? I probably wouldn't be good at that. But what if I was saying, hey, Quark, I heard you're, I don't know what a quark is, so we'll have to cover that. But I heard you have some issues with a nebula and strong feelings about it. So I'm here to kind of help you to work it out. Even though you're not sentient, you know, I got it. When universes clash, it has to be whatever. I'm here to modulate that, or whatever that proper word is that someone does that. Oh, yeah, I'm here to facilitate collisions between universes and galaxies. You know, we can't have a black hole without a little bit of at least trying to build some consensus first, of course. So, I mean, I think that's kind of like, I don't even know what else. Oh, the spatial relations. I guess that's kind of what I'm trying to do now with this show. Is with those parts of your brain that keep you up. Like maybe you say, you doesn't even know what a quark is. Or maybe you have something saying that to yourself. And I say, okay, well, what if I talk to you about how I build rapport by losing it? And you say, well, do you know how you do that? And I say, well, not yet, but I'll talk it out. Yeah, do you think it'll make any sense? No, I mean, probably it'll be about, it'll make 20% sense and the rest will be feel like nonsense and, and then I'll probably talk about nonsense and then maybe again think about shaking my hips. Okay. Yeah, I'm just here to keep you company and talk. You don't even really have to listen to me. You know, don't worry. If any galaxies are approaching you, you know, I'm going to shine a little light on the dark matter too and say, hey, you know, holy nebula, like all that kind of stuff. We might even watch some of the scenes from movies with nebula, with some nebula. Say, hey, sit down. Let's have a movie night. You know, let's get to know one another. This is Nebula, a nebulous character in a different variety of movies. I got to get back. So where was I? Nowhere. Exactly. That's one of my favorite things that happens by accident when that happens. I love that. Say, so where was I? Say, absolutely nowhere, Scoots. Say, thanks, brain. Perfect. We're doing a great job. And you're doing a great job. And I'm not kidding when I say that. Like, the reason I make the show is because I've been there sleepless and I know how it feels. And you deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve a safe place of respite. And I'm here to try to provide that for you. And that really is my honor. And if there was a superpower... Even though I'm not sure Nebula is a superpower. I mean, she's superpowered, but I don't know if she necessarily has superpowers. She may be some sort of powered being. I can't remember. Like, it may be that her powers are normal for her. That's what I mean. Like, she on Earth, she seems like she has superpowers. But she says, well, wherever I'm from, Orion 9, This is a normal, you know. So, okay, where was I? I'm already lost once again. So, I don't know. I think that's about it. It's like, make the show because you deserve a good night's sleep. I hope I can help. I really appreciate you coming by and checking this podcast out. And I yearn and I strive to help you fall asleep. Thanks again for coming by. And here's a couple of ways we're able to keep this podcast free for everybody. All right, everybody. I want to thank Claire and tonight's sponsor for supporting this episode and providing me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Hey, everybody, it's Scoots here, and good evening. I guess how we found ourselves here tonight was an intro that was supposed to be for, what do you call that show? Doctor Who. Sorry, Doctor. And that intro kind of found its way to saying, well, I think I prefer to be about something new. And then I said, Scoots, why don't you turn stuff over to the Boredom Institute for this one, since you've been consulting with them on a new program and also like an infomercial. Imagine, you know, as all infomercials are in the show, imaginary infomercial. And I said, great idea. So it's time for another one of our Boredom Institute seminars that we partner with on the show. And I'm going to turn things over to Brad Bradderson from the Boredom Institute. Well, hello, everybody. This is Brad Bradderson from the Boredom Institute here to introduce you once again to me, Brad Bradderson, and our steps to health, wealth, and happiness through boredom is your friend Brad Bradderson. Hello, everybody. Here at the Boredom Institute, we create programs, educational programs, enrichment programs, based on the idea of a bornopopia. That's something we're still brainstorming that term. That's why we're testing it out here on Scooter's podcast. Bornopopia, possibly patent pending, is, you know, the idea that boredom can bring you infinite things, an infinite abundance through boredom, which is what we believe here, even though we didn't realize as a founding principle when we founded the Boredom Institute. We believe in the abundance of, I mean, there is an overabundance. Some people would say there's an overabundance of boredom. And we, you know, we don't have, you say, well, that's one way to look at it. We see boredom as not a thing that's always present, a bit like the force, you may say. I mean, yeah, I guess a bit like the force. It runs through all things. And we see boredom as a path, and a path, in this case, to health, wealth, and happiness, and, you know, meeting your dreams. And tonight we're going to talk about losing rapport by gaining rapport. Oh, no, gaining rapport through losing rapport, gaining trust or competence by showing incompetence. And I forgot what other terms Scooter used, but, you know, we're going to win you over by losing you. And that's one of the subtle techniques of boredom. And we're going to start right off. We're going to get to this. I'm not sure how many steps we have. I mean, ideally, we used to shoot for 10 steps, and then we said, well, studies show 7 steps are better. And I said, well, what about 11 steps? If we do 10, we could turn it up to 11. A lot of the younger people we work with here at the Institute, I mean, I'm young. I'm Brad Bratterson. Believe me, the eternal youth of boredom is one of I wanted one day. They said, Brad, that's a bit of a stretch. But not everybody knows, is familiar with the movie, The Tapping, you know, the famous rockumentary. So, let's just get to it and see. We'll say, well, let's see where the path leads us. So tonight we start off with our first step. I want you to close your eyes. There's a song, and there's a lot of ideas and a lot of metaphors, and this is called the Boar Weaver, which I guess doesn't sound as smooth as Dream Weaver or, you know, other weavers. Or if you play Starcraft, Reavers, I think, is one of Scooter's. I think he liked Reavers. I think those were like the little snails, but Scooter could never keep up on refilling them. And he said, why isn't there an automatic way to do this? But that's just an obscure StarCraft reference. You know, Scooter, he never achieved StarCraft mastery, but I'm sure he put more than 10,000 hours into that. Probably wasn't 10,000, even though he was focused. It was more of a, like, it's interesting. Wonder what, we'd have to sit down. I wonder if we could sit down and interview Malcolm Gladwell about that. He said, well, I played video games for many more than 10,000 hours. I was focused and they say, well, Scooter, you were playing video games. And I say, okay, as a distraction, you're correct. But let's get back into the Boar Weaver. How do you, and you might say, Brad, you know, how do you get to health, wealth, and happiness through losing rapport or losing attention? And you say, well, let's just hold on here and let's talk about boar weaving. Why don't we? In boar weaving, what you're trying to do, it's a form of storytelling that you probably listen to almost every night, and it's neither fiction nor nonfiction. But it combines elements of both. And you may automatically do this, but we're here at the Boredom Institute trying to focus your attention on maybe skills that you may already have that you don't see as skills, but by refining them, giving them space to breathe, you realize that there is true power in these skills. And so boar weaving is simply telling a story. Now, the old way of viewing it, the non-positive or non-empowered way or judgmental way, if you don't mind me saying that, is that you're just filling air by talking. And that may be when you were using this technique in an automatic manner. You know, we've been studying Scooter for a long time, and a lot of these, You know, we've built the Boredom Institute on a lot of accidental ideas from Scooter. So let's say in the old way, let's use an imaginary exercise here. You're at a function. It's a work function, but it's after work, so you're supposed to be relaxed. And you say, "Well, that's not my forte, relaxing. You know, Will is my forte, but Will forte is not going to be at one of my work functions after work anyway. And even if Will Forte was, I probably wouldn't talk to Will Forte because I'd be too nervous, because that would mean I would be at some sort of So you're at a work function. Everyone says, "Oh, enjoy yourself, relax." You say, "Well, that, you know, these are authority figures," or so we say, "Okay, that's your natural state. It's okay. You're just a person. You're not supposed to be perfect, and there's no need to be perfect." And a situation may arise where you're supposed to talk to someone. You say, "Well, hey, Brad, everything's going on that new, what did you say? You're going to, Borebundance? Was that what you were calling it?" In that case, I just sat there stunned because I said, "Borebundance? Well, I was calling it a Borecopia, based on abundance. I didn't even think I could call it Borebundance. That's so much better." Luckily, this is an imaginary exercise, so this is actually my own idea. So that leads us right into this exercise. So I don't know if you're following me, and I'll circle back to where we are. And you say, "Oh, wow, well, I was just thinking about that Borebundance. It made me think of the show with that family, with the dad that worked at the shoe store. And then it made me think about the times I've gone to the shoe store. And that dad was very unhappy selling shoes." Now, here's the thing. I just watched another show where a character worked at a shoe store, and she was very happy. And she was talking to her, the person who was asking her questions. They said, "Well, why do you work at a shoe store?" And she said, "Because I love shoes." And they said, "Well," she was from a family where she didn't necessarily need to work. And they said, "Well, why do you work? "Because I enjoy it, because I want to." "Well, why do you work at selling shoes?" "Well, I enjoy it. I love shoes." "Well, it's in the shoes." And then she was trying to explain to him that there's a variety of shoes, not just utility shoes or things. But he had the wherewithal to say, "Hey, well, what are your favorite shoes?" And she said, "Well, these happen to be my favorite shoes that I'm wearing." And then he talked about feet and those things, and she just laughed and said, "That's not part of the job, really. That was just on that show with that guy, Al, who always talked about it." Also makes me think of the show, and then makes me think of someone that's making a reinvention of that show as a podcast, Carrie B. And this show is like an NB version of Carrie B, which is really cool. And so that's another thing I think of when I think of shoes. I'm sorry, what was your question? So I don't know if you witnessed any of that. That was boar weaving. And actually, most of that was nonfiction boar weaving, or nonfiction based on fiction that I've consumed as Brad Bratterson. But what I've also done, now you may be able to take one step further back. I was boar weaving on my own here with you as a witness. That was not a real boar weaving. And boar weaving can be a preparatory technique, not only because now I have this new idea, Borebundance, and that is much more marketable than Bornopopia or Bornopopia. Also, it rhymes with something that would say an abundance of things that people, you know, look at in their spare time that society might have strong thoughts about. That rhymes with Bornopopia. But not cornucopia, but you know, people that have a lot of corn or a lot of cornucopias, that's great. So boar weaver is something you could do. And you might say, Brad, this whole thing in the Boredom Institute is ridiculous, and a big SH to the A to them. And I'd say, okay, I respect your viewpoint. But let me tell you a little bit of something about this particular technique. You could just turn this off and never listen to a Boredom Institute seminar again. You could, you know, say, well, I just want the free trial and not the, you know, when the free trial stops, you know, the 12, you know, it's very, you know, we do charge a premium here at the Boredom Institute. One day we'll merge with the Roy G. Biv Institute, that's Scooter Stream. And I say, well, how does an institute that's based on proving lights on the Roy G. Biv whatever method? But here's the thing. If you're anticipating something and you're having strong feelings about it, which these are all normal things we all go through. Maybe some people don't, but maybe those people, that's good for those people that they don't. But I'm talking to you, Brad Bradderson, to somebody that can identify with how Brad Bradderson faces life. Maybe you're at your desk. Maybe you're at home. Tomorrow's the work party or the work function. Maybe Will Forte is going to be there. You say, well, Will Forte is coming in, you know, to talk about his new imaginary memoir, Forte on Fortes. There's a new podcast, Forte on Fortes. It's a 40th episode, but puns, you know, so I'm pleased with myself by that accidental pun. Anyway, so you could practice this technique before the party, before reality, not only to brainstorm accidentally, but to give yourself some space to actually lose some rapport or to think about what would it be like if I lost all this rapport? You know, what if you're talking to Will Forte and, you know, I don't have another technique to come up with for a conversation point, but you'd say, whenever I think, okay, I can do one though. So let's just say it again. And again, practice it at home. I'll tell you the purpose and then it'll help relax you. It'll help you see the thing. And you might say to yourself, well, then Will Forte is just going to say, well, you know what? I didn't realize the time. I have to go talk to those other people over there. Or I'm going to get some water. You stay here. Do you want any? I'm not coming back, but if you want any water, wait here and then go get it. And you might think that makes you squinch inside. But what's the risk? Let's take a reality. What if it was always going to be, what if that's not your forte, isn't your forte, and talking to forte isn't your forte? Leaning in and accepting it and saying, well, you know, at least I can enjoy myself. Playing it out in your mind and saying, well, I already saw how, like, maybe it'll make you more comfortable to be yourself. Those are my theories, at least. So anyway, Will, Forte, that's with an E at the end. Well, that's great. I've always liked you. You know, I've always liked you. I've also liked Forts, too. What about a pod? I know you have this Forte. Is it Forte on Forte? I wonder if any languages in the world call forts forte. And then it's funny because it almost sounds like you're saying 40, but in a fancy way. What about Jack A? Forte and Jack A today? Like, what if the two of you had a morning report? I would watch that. But moving on, I was thinking about forts, forte and forts. Or the Fort Report with Will Forte. And you maybe, I don't know if you're a family person. I don't know, because I'm just, but you could have Blanket Fort Report with Will Forte. But it makes me think about my favorite forts that I've been to, which I haven't been to a lot, Will. And nowadays people ask me, of the forts you know about, what are your favorites? And I say, well, there's only two that I actually remember. And both of them are in central New York. One is Fort Stanwix and one is Fort Oswego. And I don't know, like I was at Fort Stanwix in a rainstorm a few years ago. And now that's a wood fort, and Fort Oswego is a stone fort. Fort Oswego is on Lake Ontario, and Fort Stanwix is in Rome, New York. And, you know, Fort Oswego is something I've been to mostly as an adult, Will. And Fort Stanwix was something I went to as a child and returned to as an adult with my child. And because it was a rainy day, I don't know if that impacted it. It was definitely not as grand as my imagination would have had me remember, but it was quite a nice fort. And then the nice thing about Fort Oswego is the last few times I've gone has been like a reenactment day. And last time we went, this person was running a magic lantern, a early projector. And he was kind of dressed in a steampunkish type outfit and describing it to us. The time we went before that, Scooter developed a crush on someone working in like the Florence Nightingale style tent. But all he said was, are those bandages? And then she said, yes, these are bandages. Would you like me? Oh, thanks, but okay. So Will's gone. So that's that would be how I would handle it with Will Forte beforehand. Now, would I handle that in reality or not? Another thing about the Boredom Institute and what you got to remember is sometimes you have to trust your subconscious or trust imperfection or that, you know, it doesn't always feel like, I don't know, just play around with it. Be playful. So that's one technique. And Will, if you want to stick around here, feel free to, and, you know, feel free to think about, you know, those podcasts I just asked you about. Forte. What about that one? I don't know. I don't exactly know what forte means either. I've said it so many times that I've lost. I think it would be forte on forte. Like you would interview people that have a forte in something you're interested in. That's just my idea. Anyway, so moving on to our next step here. It's a boredom beyond time and space. And you might wonder, Brad, what does that mean? Boredom beyond time and beyond space. And say in the beginning, there probably was pretty boring before the big one, the Big Bang, you know, that, or, you know, other ways of wondering the creation or beginning of the universe. If there was nothing and you were there, you would say it was boring. You know, obviously you would come to a point where you maybe would like overcome or lean into that boredom or grapple with it. And one of the things I like to point out to my students or my people I'm working with here at the Boredom Institute is that what if that is true? Because it probably is true. If there was a time before anything, there was a time with nothing. And when you think about it that way, if that you would have to accept in my book that that is an underpinning energy in the universe or an underpinning, you know, the underpinning energy in the universe. I think I was thinking I'd say something else, but I just repeated myself. And that boredom is always there in its rawest form. And maybe sometimes, like, the boredom isn't both within us and without us. You say, Brad, are you just talking or are you going to make a point? I say, well, yeah, one, be reassured by that. Sometimes there's a feeling within Brad, maybe within any of you, maybe you that's listening, that says, oh, no, Brad, you're so boring. You just talked to Will Forte about forts, and you didn't even really talk about forts except by mentioning that one was stick and one was stone. And then he awkwardly said, stick and stone. And then he went and got his water, never to return. And he said, Brad, you're so boring. You're experiencing boredom. And he said, well, Brad, it's not like you invented boredom. It's been there since the beginning in the dawn of time. Before the dawn of time, by the way, Brad. And boredom's always there. Maybe you're just, you know, maybe you're interpreting boredom in a way that is like you're spinning the ball, like you're spinning the electron in a certain direction. And in this case, your spin has a negative feel to it, Brad. But if you accept the fact that it's just spinning counterclockwise, clockwise, are only two of the directions it could be spinning, Brad. If it's a spherical, isn't there many, 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 many more ways it could spin? So that's one thing to think about, Brad, is you're just putting one spin on it and you're sure that it's spinning that way, but it could be spinning an infinitesimal, I think that means almost infinite, but maybe not ways, because sometimes it's beyond our understanding. And you might say, Brad, are you trying to be profound with something that's not profound? I say, no, I'm trying to remind you that that boredom's there, that you didn't make it and you didn't say it. And then you say, well, if I bored Will Forte, isn't that a pretty, you know, how many people could say they, you know, talked to Will Forte about forts and then Will Forte walked away? Then years later, Will Forte, you know, made it an autobiography and a book and an interview series, Forte on Forte, you know, Forte. Not many people could say that. And so that's one thing. Another thing is that when we look at this spinning of our thoughts around boredom and those things, you know, sometimes we inflate things. And, you know, there's a book that Scooter read and a lot of us have read, and there's posters about it and there's memes about your place in the universe. Or, you know, the meaning of things in that book that Scooter loves about Hitchhiking in Space or whatever it's called. Oh, he just yelled, Hitchhiker's Guide to the... Okay, I know, Scooter, I was just being facetious. So when you're talking to someone like Will Forte or someone at work and you're saying, oh boy, did I just lose the rapport... You're saying you're not making it. A lot of people say, oh, you're making a big deal out of a moan hill or whatever. You know, you're making a mountain out of a mouse stack. And they say, no. That's how it feels. It really feels like a mountain. But when Will Forte walks away from you, it might feel really big. Especially if other people saw it, or, you know, even if it's at work, you say, well, I got to work here. And that's a natural understanding feeling. Now, the idea of where does that place you in the universe, or that boredom transcends time and space, predates it. If we were there to observe it, I get it. Boredom would only exist if we were there to observe it, but it is there if it was observable. It isn't meant to say, oh, you're a tiny speck in the universe and your feelings are a tiny speck, because your feelings don't feel like a tiny speck. They feel universal. And there is the key to unlock the door, possibly, or just say, hey, Like, instead of spinning it in a negative way, you see, wow, these are big bang level feelings I'm feeling. And yet in the idea of the universe, they're probably tiny, but they don't feel tiny. And then that may lead you to the place of saying, and to someone else, you know, someone might say blah, 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 but someone that can really, like Brad Bratterson, I've been there. I can say, well, I've had big feelings about small stuff too. What about that, Will? Big feelings about small stuff. And that is also universal. And I would even posit this, so I have not been back to the beginning of the universe. Or you say, well, boredom predates emotion. That's one thing I'd just like to point out to you. But when the first thing in the universe emoted, experienced emotions, I would say that there was probably big feelings about what some would call small things. But what if you don't say they're small things? You say, well, those are big feelings. Big feelings are universal too. So I think you get what I'm saying. Maybe not. Because some people say, don't worry about little things. And you say, well, I would say, don't worry about the worry about small things. And recognize that these things, they do transcend time and space. I mean, some scientists would probably say I'm wrong. And then I would have the feelings, and then I would get another chance to explore my feelings about that. Now, we go into this next idea, concept, the next stage of our seminar, as we try to look at this idea of losing rapport, losing attention to gain it. And these are actually, sometimes these are take-and-go things, but this is actually, we're building to something here. We're going somewhere. And even in our, obviously, our mental exercises, we've been going somewhere. But this is the idea, building on what we were talking about earlier. There is not, some people would say maybe is Scooter the most boring person in the world or the most boringest and incorrect, most incorrectest when he uses words. And I would say there is no most boring. It just like some of the listeners, maybe you say, well, Scooter's not boring. He's just the Boredom Institute isn't just about boredom. It's about health, wealth, and happiness. And, you know, washboard abs all through boredom, you know, for a low, low price that like that eventually goes up. And this, again, is a two-sided thing. You may feel like the most boring person in the world. If you are, that's a powerful thing to be, but you may not be. You may not be able to one-up, outbore the bores. But what's wrong with being boring is what I'm saying is the idea of being the top, of meeting these expectations that say, well, I gotta, like, could you really, do you really need to charm Will Forte or your co-workers? And again, this is not an easy thing. Brad's not saying this is an instant thing. Or could you just be yourself? Isn't that pretty good? And I just know from me, you know, thinking about why did I think of Borpopio? Why didn't I think of Borbundance? How did I not think of that till just now accidentally while giving a seminar? And I don't know if you could hear this, but when I say this, my hand is on my chest in loving manner. And maybe you could do that sometime, is put your hand on your chest or your stomach in a loving way and say, Brad, you probably never be the, like, it's okay. You don't even have to put it to any more words. So say, it's okay. I understand. Brad, that means you have an imagination, a strong one, when you're always thinking, when's Brad going to shine? When's, you know, Will Forte going to say, what was that other idea you had that didn't use my name? Because I kind of like that one. And I'd say, Will, I forgot. I'd say, like, it wasn't the one where you talk about forts or people that are good at stuff. I think it was, I can't remember. But you liked that idea, huh? Well, this is just imagining. Oh, okay. Well, I'm just imagining. And I guess I'm imagining, and now we move into the next part of this. And again, these are practices you could do at home. And you go further in, because this is timeless, you say. What am I really looking for here with Will? What would happen if I impressed, if I did remember the impressive idea I told the imaginary Will Forte in my mind? I'd feel suddenly a big bang, maybe. But I'm imagining that. I say, oh, wow, I'd suddenly feel... And just maybe feel those feelings too and say, oh boy, that feels good, making Will Forte laugh and saying, oh boy. And you say, okay, well, are those feelings out there anywhere else for me to find? Maybe I'm searching for those feelings and not necessarily, and just get to know the feelings better. Maybe they have a texture, maybe they have a taste. And these are kind of the feelings of one-upping almost, of being, you say, well, I was the one that, you know, no one else at work came impressed, or, you know, I was a star of the show. Those are, you know, and that's okay to want that. What I'm saying is, when you're imagining that, and some would say these are expectations on the higher end, you're imagining these grand expectations. Don't spin the electrons on that in a negative or a positive direction. Look at and observe, how is that spinning? And what does it feel like? And just get to know those feelings a little bit better. And to see where they lead you, correct? Like, you'd say, okay, so you're saying, Brad, are you telling me at this point in the seminar that we're looking at, what it would it be like? You started out with one thing, but now you're leading me to the flip side of it. What do I imagine it feel like if I never lost rapport? If I had a natural rapport and I didn't have to take a seminar on using boredom, or, you know, I always won people over, because that is a powerful part of my imagination. You're right, Brad. What did that feel like? What would that bring me? Or what do I imagine it would bring me? And how would I imagine it would make me feel? But Brad, you're saying not to disconnect it from the expectations or the imaginary exercise, but to kind of, instead of thinking about it intellectually or from the imagination standpoint, move into the feelings more and say, "Wow, what are those feelings like?" That's interesting. You don't have a bore bone in your body anymore, huh? Does that feel different? Or oh no, you've reached, you know, boredom mastery. And so now you're able to use boredom in ways that people never thought before possible. You've shown the world the power of borebundance. And through the borebundance, you've attained health, wealth, and happiness. And those washboard abs that we all... But you say, wait a second, Brad, are you still leading me? I say, yeah, what is it? What do those things really represent to you? And instead of reaching for the feeling, we're running towards it. You know, let it float in like a cloud and be around you for a little while and say, huh, yeah, well, how do I feel when I'm impressing someone, or imagining I'm impressing someone in a way that transcends time and space? And just experience that. And so you say, okay, Brad, where are we now? And I say, well, we're right here together right now. And we're moving into our next place, which is, again, I guess I have to work on this. I was going to say presence or bore presence, but bore presence is just, that sounds like a presence, like a gift, instead of presence, like being in the room. I guess I could say the room where it doesn't happen. You say, well, I want to be in the room where it happens. They say, well, let's start off in the room where nothing happens. We call it Scooter's bedroom. Sorry, Scooter. Thanks for letting the Boredom Institute. Thanks for letting us use your show. But we're leaning into these experiments we're doing, these real exercises within the imagination, and with the goal of being more present for our boredom. And also being more present for the feelings around our boredom, the spins we may or may not be putting on them. We don't know. We're trying to learn to observe them and be there and give them space. And one of the things that we would like to achieve in this process, and it's not a universal all or nothing thing, is if you can be present for something, is there a spectrum of acceptance you can reach? Because some people would say just accept it, or something positive. And we who cross paths after midnight, as we'll say here, we know that that's not necessarily the truth, that it's much more of a spectrum. So can we go from observer to some place you say, well, I'm just kind of watching that, and or saying, well, I've experienced that before, this hope or this worry or these strong feelings about not being the charmer of the party. Can we move more into a place of being present for it and then saying, well, I accept that you wish that. I accept that you feel that way. And I've kind of been hinting at this the whole time. But really, we're looking to put our feet into this world. And Scooter actually taught me this technique, and I guess I'd just throw it in here because he calls it the big toe technique. And he said he doesn't know if he learned this from something or he thought of it as on his own. But when he does a performance in front of people, he gets, I guess he says he forgets to use it for other situations. But when he used to do live shows, he would be very, he would say, oh, well, this is not going to happen. I can't possibly do a live performance for people. And so he would talk to his big toe and he would say, well, what if just my big toe could be excited about this or present for it? The rest of me maybe needs some distance or is just like feeling these feelings that we're present here for. But my big toe is leaning in. My big toe is excited and comfortable. Not even saying that, saying, could you, big toe, do that? And he said sometimes when he would remember, which wasn't often, he would just press his big toe down, as I'm doing now. I'm pressing one of my big toes down and saying, okay, that big toe is here. That big toe is present. This leads into Brad saying, is accepting of everything else. Now, not 100%. Say, well, are you able to accept that the rest of me is not sure about being here for this performance or at this work party or at this other function? Are you saying that? And you say, well, okay, well, what is it like if my big toe's pressed down and that part of me is comfortable? You know, just a tiny percent, I don't know, what is it, like 0.2% or something, maybe more because it's the big toe. You say, okay, yeah, you're here. What do you think about all that? Well, I can accept that you don't want to be here, even though my big toe does. And maybe you're even talking about it out loud. And Will's Forte saying, are you talking about pressing your big? You say, yeah, I am. A little bit nervous here, Will, talking to you. Because I loved you in that movie so much, or that show, or just your general all-around presence. And, you know, and this is just an imaginary exercise, because, again, we're trying to move into a place to say, well, I'm accept that you're a little bit nervous and awkward. That's totally cool with me. And I'm pressing my big toe down for it. You got it? I got it. Good. And by gaining presence and acceptance with either that or anything else, and you say, well, I'm just a little bit of a degree of accepting and being present for it, you could actually maybe feel good about it. Maybe you're a loving, comforting presence. Or maybe your big toe is that loving, comforting presence to say, hey, it's okay. And again, maybe this could transfer outside of you to other people and say, well, I could see you're nervous or worried about that. It's totally normal. And where does all that leave us? Where have we gone on this journey and where would we like to go? Is the idea that one day, if you're accepting these things and working these things, and again, looking at it like an experiment instead of, you know, like me, Brad Bradison, I really tend to see things in all or nothing, in a global big, everything is a global big bang inside of Brad Bradison. And, you know, maybe I just go back and forth through all or nothing, and maybe sometimes I can use these more spectrum-based ideas. But you see, Brad, like, how are we going to get health, wealth, and happiness and washboard abs through all this? I said, well, eventually you will. But eventually with this technique, the idea is that there is some softness, like the idea that your rear, your flank is exposed, right? That's the feeling we're kind of talking about here in these interpersonal situations. And you say, well, I don't like that idea. You say, okay, that's I accept that too. That's perfectly normal. Can we lead you to a place where you get to some, where that degree of acceptance only sometimes gets to the point where you say, well, I know it's going to be okay, though, if I lose rapport and I accept that I'm not good at it, and what will happen then? And there is a paradox there by, like, accepting things and having a presence and being a little bit more grounded. Maybe you're more present for Will Forte or your coworkers. Maybe you feel, we don't know because this is an experiment. Maybe by more experiencing the feelings beforehand, but not trying to plan out what you're going to say, you realize you don't have to say much at all. Maybe you realize that you don't have to win any rapport. You're just trying to build rapport because that's what everybody says anyways. Like there's no rapport winners because then you say, well, I'm the rapport loster. You'll find that by putting that toe down and saying, well, there's a lot of feelings here. I can be present for these feelings with part of my toe or part of my foot, but I could also try to be present for this other person. And I could also be trying, you know, this again is advanced techniques of boredom. And then you just give yourself a break. You say, hey, this has been around for a long time, a lot longer than me. That doesn't diminish the strong feelings you're having. It's a reminder you're not alone. And you could try this. You could try it out. And I realize that this isn't the flashiest of seminars we've done here at the Boredom Institute. And, this, you know, that's why it's free on this podcast. Because you say, well, it doesn't have an exact, a tangible result. I'd say, is it worth a try? Here from Brad Bradison to you, I'd say you're worth a try. So whether you put your big toe into it or your hand gently on your chest or both, and you breathe in and you say, hey, yeah, that's strong stuff. I'm here for you. That would, if that's all you get out of this seminar, that's all that matters. Good night from Brad Bratterson, the Boredom Institute. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody. I want to thank everybody that became a patron recently. Darla, Agnes, and Caitlin. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Dana, Nora, and Aria. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. IH, AZ, and Sharon. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Jaime, Amy, and Christina, thanks, and night. Yao, Nathan, and Joel, thanks, and good night. Roxana, Kate, and Katie, thanks, and good night. Judith, Emily, and Courtney, thank you, thanks, and good night. Jennifer, Lisa, and Corinne, thank you, thanks, and good night. Jessica, McKenzie, and Steve, thank you, thanks, and good night. Savannah, Rebecca, and Sonic, thank you, thanks, and good night. A-Cakes, Akeda, and Joselle, thank you, thanks, and good night. Lindsay, Jonathan, and Madison, thank you, thanks, and good night. Rachel, Rocky, and BL, thanks, and good night. David, Noah, and Kelly, thank you, thanks, and good night. Thomas, Jaina, and Emily, thank you, thanks, and good night. Alana, Kincaid, Laura, Nore, thank you, thanks, and good night. Thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. Sleep with Me is able to exist. A free podcast can be able to support the show directly, support our sponsors, or spread the word about the show is a free way to help the podcast. And speaking of spreading the word, here's a podcast I want you to know about. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple.